Hello and welcome to another edition of Catholic Answers Focus. We're so happy to have you here with us. And I think you're really going to enjoy today's program. We so often feature authors or leaders of different capacities in the church, even folks who are doing new ministries on the internet as part of the new evangelization. Today, we talk with a priest who is right down on the ground level doing the work of evangelization. The story is remarkable, worth sharing, and I hope you will enjoy it. We welcome Father John Guzzaldo to Catholic Answers Focus.
No, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
So you're, let's get right into the meat of what you're doing, and then we can do some of the history of it. So your parish, since the year 2015, so for about 2 years now, has undertaken a ministry that is probably will make some Catholics uncomfortable.
Yeah. We go door to door here in the neighborhood every first Saturday of the month. That's right.
And that's it. We don't think of that. I guess that's not that's not familiar and maybe not comfortable to most Catholics. So
no, and it is not comfortable. And I can kind of tell you how we started or how it started.
Great.
A couple years ago, I was assigned here in 2010, and I'm in St. Louis is in Waco, but we're kind of in a poor neighborhood, mostly African-American Hispanic families. But I noticed as I was driving back and forth to work or around, there was just Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door. I saw them, and I know what they look like, and I know Mormons are the ones on the bike with the ties.
Right.
And then one time I was just driving by a house, and they were out front. And I noticed that they were actually at a Catholic family's home. And I remember thinking, you know, they're Catholic and they're being basically attacked with falsehood. And the question is, as their local pastor, am I defending them? Am I doing that? They're supposed to be going to my parish. And, you know, if they can do it, I should be able to do it. And this is like low-hanging fruit. And so in many ways, at the time, we didn't have like how it started, really. We were starting a Spanish Mass. My parish never really had a Spanish Mass. So I started thinking my neighborhood's becoming more Hispanic, more immigrant. The best way to get them here is why don't I just start knocking on doors? So I had a little committee, and we decided we're going to go door to door. The funny part was we had arranged to start on February of 2015 on a certain Saturday, and there was a miscommunication about there was supposed to be three or four of us going to go. Well, because of the miscommunication, it turned out to be just me. We kind of missed each other. And so I went in the church and prayed, and then I walked across the street to my first house, and no one was there, and I was nervous, and my heart was pounding, but I had my bulletins in my hand and a little pamphlet. And I went to another house across the street, knocked on the door, you know, heart pounding, very nervous on a cold morning in February, and a lady answered the door, and she only spoke Spanish, so I introduced myself, and I said, I'm the pastor right here. And I asked if she was Catholic, and she said, yes. I said, where do you go to church? And she went to a church on the other side of town. And I said, you know, we're having a Spanish Mass here. You're technically part of my parish. And it was so rewarding to be able to invite her. She knew I was a priest. She kind of lightened up and livened up. She thought, I think as they all do, that we're either Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. And now the other group that's going around is Pentecostals. And I gave her a bulletin and I invited her to Mass. And it was great. So I went to the next house, knocked on the door, still nervous and heart pounding. And the door opened and introduced myself. And the man said, yeah, Father, I'm actually Catholic. I go to church with my girlfriend at a Baptist church, and I said, well, why? And he stepped out, and we sat there and talked for about 15 minutes. And it was great. And I just went down the street, and next thing I knew, it was about 2 hours had gone by. A couple of families said, no, we're not Catholic, and never been Catholic. And I said, thank you, and I moved on. And I ended the day. I went to one more house. I said, I'll go to one more house, and this has been a great day. I'll go to one more house. So I went to one more house, and I noticed they had a statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I said, oh, this is a Catholic family. Knocked on the door. I said, oh, hello, Padre, come in. So they invited me in. We talked, showed me their house, and then that particular family has become a staple in my parish. And they literally live maybe 100 yards from the church.
And they just needed an invitation, Father.
They just needed to know that someone was interested. They're one of the staples in their kids are in a youth group. They're in their altar servers, and she's now on my committee for Hispanics. But I remember walking back, and I remember this has been my best day, thinking that this has been my best day. I was the most scared, and it turned out to be my best day. So I started incorporating it in my sermons, and the next thing you know, the next week, I had a team.
Wow.
I had a little team of three or four people, and so we hit the road again, went to another street, and we're kind of getting, that was the first time people were like, no, we're not interested, no, I don't care. And then we hit a house that said, welcome. And we said, hey, Lexus, welcome. And then I could hear them. We try to see if this is a Catholic home or not. And we heard them speaking Spanish, and then a whole family of people walked out. And I introduced myself. I'm Father John. I'm pastor of this huge parish right next door to you. Are you guys Catholic? And they said, no. And this is what we kind of do. We ask them if they're Catholic. They say no. And then we ask them if you've ever been Catholic. And they said, yes. And they said they're Jehovah's Witnesses now. And they were about to go door to door. So that was one of those times that for the next 15, 20 minutes, it was on. It's like, hey, would you like to come back? I'll take your, here's mine. They wouldn't take my, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses won't take it. And then we just started talking and going back and forth and inviting them, hey, and using the apologetics that we know. But that's a rare instance. That's a rare instance. I think in our 2 years now, we've run into Jehovah's Witnesses maybe three or four times on the sidewalk, and now we run into one is Pentecostals. They're all ex-Catholics.
Well,
and
that,
they want to talk.
And that strikes me, Father, that there does seem to be a large movement of Pentecostal Christians, who are intentionally going after Catholic families, Catholic individuals. As a matter of fact, I'm a good friend of mine, Christine Franklin, who does a Catholic radio show now, she started out as a Pentecostal going into Guatemala to try to make the Guatemalans Pentecostals, and it turns out they made her a Catholic. And so, it seems to me that you're right on the cutting edge of something that's happening everywhere. There's this appeal to, oh, come over to our church, you know.
Yeah.
And you have to meet that. So I just wanted to know kind of what is it like when you meet the Pentecostals on the street going to the same houses that you're going to?
Well, they are ready. They get into it quick. They get into it quick. And you guys believe that, you know, God is, there's three gods. And so you get into the actual Bible stuff quick. And they don't, and like the one family we had just not too long ago, a few months ago, I asked them, were you guys Catholic? And they said no. And then there was an older lady, the mom, I guess the grandma, and I said, was she Catholic? And sure enough, yes. And then she said, well, because of the ignorance of her parents. That's where it sort of comes from. Now, I will say in their defense, part of the problem we're having here is that here in a lot of places, the immigrant community especially, there's just not a lot of places to go. Like I said, we have two churches here in Waco, and they're packed. And they're packed with immigrants and people whose primary language of faith is Spanish. And the priest worked very hard, but they, you know, it's not easy. But then when you have all these small churches that are very intimate, and they very Bible-based, and they're very family, it can be very enticing. And if they're going door to door and it's a family that's not practicing their faith, which is very much in the case, and they get to know them, invite them to a dinner, take them to one of their revivals, that's very powerful. It's very powerful. And if no one in their life or their priest or no one in their church ever welcomes them, visits them, takes ownership or takes an interest, they're just low-hanging fruit. They're just out there. That's why we like the other ministry I do, what we try to do is we have the addresses of all the people who come for quinceañeras and for baptisms, and we have their addresses, so we go straight to their house knowing that they're Catholic. That's very rewarding, too, because they invite you in and you talk, and 99 times out of 100, the family's not married through the church. I find myself making deals with them. Hey, you know, we can do this in a couple of months if you've been married for a long time. You know, we get your sacraments. I find myself making deals. The wedding is free, but we get a lot of work done that way because, in one way, I learned from the Hispanic community. Because when they do come to my church looking for a baptism or wedding or quinceañera, they don't call and make an appointment. They come to the door. So I go to their door. Sometimes it's happened, you know, we'll be on the sidewalk and here comes another group of people. And we ask them, are you Jehovah's Witness or Oneness Pentecostal? That's what either one or the other. And then we ask them, you know, were you Catholic? And then a lot of times they say, yeah, we were. And, you know, we don't get into too many debates with people going door to door. It's a few times. But these people, they want to throw Bible verses and start defending themselves.
Yep.
And it's our job to be able to question them and say, you know, we invite you back. And one time, you know, one lady, she goes, well, I admire your zeal. And I said, I admire your zeal, too. And I gave her a pamphlet. Invited her to church, and she gave me a pamphlet, invited me to her church, and I went over there once to their little Pentecostal church. But the Jehovah's Witnesses, they won't take your information.
No,
those tend to be very contentious. Especially if they're ex-Catholic. But we haven't run into that too much.
So when you go to a house, what do you have a set of things that you want to say? I mean, I'm curious about what. So you're walking down the street, and there's a group of how many? Two or four of you? Or
well, lately we've had like a group of six or eight, and then we split up into two groups of four, and we take one side of the street.
Okay.
And usually, if we try to split up, make sure at least somebody has in their group that can speak Spanish. So what we do, we kind of have a little format, if you will. We walk up to a house, and we try to figure out, sometimes we can figure out immediately if this is a Catholic home or not. They have a statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe or crucifix or something like that. But if not, we walk up to a house, we knock on the door, ring the doorbell. A lot of times we can hear right away if someone's inside, and we wait, and we try to wait. And if they come to the door, we introduce ourselves. We immediately tell them, you know, we're from St. Louis Catholic Church down the road. And we ask them, we say, well, we're just trying to see if there's any Catholics in the neighborhood. Are y'all Catholic? Are you guys Catholic? And if they say no, we say, were you ever Catholic? Because a lot of times if they're Hispanic, you can pretty much assure they were once Catholic. If they say no, they're not Catholic and never Catholic, we say, have a nice day. Sorry to bother you. Have a good morning. And we give them y'all's little... I know this is California. I keep saying y'all. We give them your pamphlet.
You can say y'all, Father.
We give them y'all's pamphlet, Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth. And usually they're very nice. Well, uh-huh. As soon as we say, have a nice day, they say, you guys have a nice day too. And then we walk away. But if we walk up to and somebody answers and says, they are Catholic, and I don't recognize them, sometimes they say, Father, I go to your church. Oh, hello, how are you? That's happened a few times. Father, I go to your church. Oh, yes, that's right. And it's nice to, and they invite us in sometimes, and we sit and talk. But most of the times they say, if they are Catholic, they don't go to my church. They may go to some other church. And then we say, well, we'd like you to come to our church here because you're in my neighborhood. And here we invite you to come. But most of the time if they say they're Catholic, they don't go to church. And that's when we say, you know, what can we do for you? We'd like to get you to come back. Have your kids been baptized? Are you married? Are you married in the church? We'd like to be able to say, you know, we have something to offer. And a lot of times they'll say, you know, yeah, we'd like to get our kids in youth group. We'd like to come. I remember one time a young teenage girl, she was a young mother, kind of stepped out, closed the door. She goes, I want to get my kid baptized. My parents are against it. And so, well, what can we do for you? How old are you? And when those things happen, a lot of times we'll step back, we'll take a picture of the house with our phones, uh-huh. The address, and I'll go back there. So that's always exciting when I can go back there. But a lot of times they just don't go to church at all. They don't go to church at all. And so we invite them to Mass, and we give them bulletins in Spanish and English. And then we move on. We don't want to take up their time too much. If they say, we ask them, are you Catholic? And they say, no, we're not Catholic. And if they, we say, were you Catholic? And they say, yeah, we were Catholic, but now we're Christian. We run into that a lot. That's when we say, okay, well, what happened? And that's when all the apologetics kicks in. That's when they want to talk. Well, this is, well, I went here, and usually it's some priest that was mean to them, or someone wouldn't give them their kid a quinceañera. Or they got pulled into one of these, it's always these Pentecostal, non-denominational churches I can say many ways we can learn a lot from. They got pulled into, somebody invited them to a Bible study or a life group, and which we're trying to do some of that here. But that's just to let them talk. Now, oftentimes we don't convince them, but to be able to invite them back, to engage them, to say that we tried, and to give them information, and then we move on, like I said. But some of the times we get just awesome, you know, families that are kind of Catholic, but then they'll invite us in to sit down. We'll sit on their couch. We'll meet the family, try to get them signed up for CCE. Every once in a while we'll get someone come to Mass, and I say, you look familiar. And they'll say, well, you came to my house, Father. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine. Well, thanks for coming. We even starting to hear from the funeral directors who know a lot of the people in there. They said, yeah, they came to my house. I couldn't believe it. But for me and for our little group, it strengthens us. And I think something I actually learned from an ex-Mormon bishop, he's now Catholic, but he said that he talked about how they sent out missionaries two at a time. And I said, yeah, I know. And I thought it was just to make more Mormons. And he goes, no, not primarily. He goes, not primarily. They had it down to a science. They said that if they send two men out for 2 years, and they spend 2 years defending their faith, there's an 80% chance they'll come back to the States or wherever they're from, wherever they're at. And there's an 80% chance they'll spend their life as Mormons, and they'll be a tithing member of the community. They'll raise their kids Mormon. I remember thinking, you know, when we go out, it does more for us. It strengthens us. And so in some ways, my motivation has changed. I'd like to have several teams out there hitting the neighborhood, because in our parish boundaries, we've been doing this for 2 years. We've hit 1,000 churches. I'm sorry, 1,000 houses. And we have just barely scratched the surface of how many houses are in the neighborhood. There's thousands and thousands of houses. But each time we come back, they always come back stronger and on fire and wired and inspired, and it just does a lot for us. So in many ways, my motivation has changed. I like to get people to start going door to door to strengthen their faith. It always strengthens mine. Go ahead.
Well, we're called to be missionaries, it seems to me. Oh. So when you invite someone to be a missionary, that's transformative of the faith. That's the full faith come to life in that person.
Oh yeah, and you can tell something in them knows they're supposed to be doing this. You know, when I talk to people about we go door to door, they always say, yeah, I've thought about doing that. I've thought about joining you guys. We have some people who've signed up, you know, never quite done it. You know, we had a couple that came. They both signed up, but the husband showed up, but the wife never has. And he always says, my wife signed up for this, but she keeps finding excuses not to come.
Uh-huh.
And we've had a couple of people come for a little while and then kind of back out. But every time we get a new person who joined us on Saturday morning, you could tell they've gone through just working through the fear. You know, they're ready. I've been praying about this, and now I want to give it a try. And we pray before we go. We have a little prayer that we say. Now, we've done this for a couple of years now, but I've actually been able to kind of hand it off. We have a young man in the parish named Mark, and he kind of has taken it over as his ministry. And that's really kind of the ideal thing.
Yeah.
You know, if we start something and someone takes it on and it takes on a life of its own, he got a big map of Waco, and he charts the streets we've gone on, and he's out there with him and a couple guys recruiting people to help him from our local Knights of Columbus and our local Acts community. And so a lot of times, and some weekends I can't join them. Sometimes I can't do it. I have a wedding or something.
But still, they're out there.
They're out there, yeah, and they come back and they tell me about it. And what's really neat, too, every summer we have seminarians. And I tell them I expect you to be involved in this. You know, I don't tell anybody else that, but if they're seminarians, I have the right, and you guys, it's part of your training. And it's been so neat for them. You know, they get up in the morning and they're wired and they've never done this before. And they always come back, wow, I was so scared, but it was a great experience. We had so much fun. So that's kind of neat when we can have train our seminarians to go out there and do this too. And it, every time it's their first time. They've never done this before.
Well, it strikes me how simple it is in the sense that you have a simple question to ask. Are you Catholic? Have you ever been Catholic? And that you have responses to each of those. And for a person, it seems to me that for a person who maybe left the church for reasons of anger or they were mistreated or something, this is an opportunity for them. Even if they don't come to Mass at your parish, it's an opportunity. It doesn't. I suppose when you think of it as we're going to door, you know, spreading the gospel, it's has a kind of, oh, that's too much for me. That I could never do that. But mm-hmm. but you've made it a very simple process.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are afraid because they're afraid because they don't know the Bible well or they don't know their faith that well. And in the 2.5 years we've been doing this, we may have had a knockdown debate. Bible thumping, throwing maybe 3 or 4 times, maybe. We went to a house that you know that was all Hispanic, and it turned out the father of the house was the pastor of the local Oneness Pentecostal church.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's going to happen. But I think you find out real quick. Just like you said, we go and then we ask questions, and. We get them to start talking. And if they have been hurt by the church or once Catholic, we just sit there and listen. And they want to talk. And it's almost a ministry. And we say, well, sorry about that. And we just invite you. And they're all, when we leave, they're always very gracious. Listen, you have a nice day. Hey, you guys have a nice day, too. Thanks for coming by. And so it very much is a ministry, and they minister to us. A lot of times, I mean, several times we've gone to someone's door and the young lady will answer, or their wife will answer, and she'll get, can we go talk over here under the tree? That's happened. Or can we go over to here and talk? My husband, we're Catholic, but he was Catholic. And we just listen to her. Is there anything we can help with? Here's my card. Would he like to talk? And next thing you know, 15, 20, half an hour has gone by.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a couple of times we've gone out, but we spent 2 hours or 2.5 hours. We only hit 4 houses. Because we got involved in these conversations, or they invited us in, and mm-hmm. next thing I know, I find myself blessing their house. And hey, Father, can you pray for my son? And you know that next thing you know, half an hour has gone by, and that is such a blessing. And we walk away from that going, wasn't that awesome, guys? Wasn't that worth the whole day? That we can go home now saying that, wow, we ministered to someone. They ministered to us. God, was God present or what?
Yeah.
So it's really been a neat sort of thing for me anyway.
It strikes me as such a contrast. In some way, I suppose you see a lot of people developing new media. You know, we're moving into areas where the Catholic Church has not been before, from everything from Catholic radio and television to internet mm-hmm. and all that. All of which, I mean, I'm part of it, so I don't want to denigrate it at all.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
very, very important. But this is the fundamental basic thing of trying to share the good news and invite people into this relationship with Jesus, especially mm-hmm. a Eucharistic relationship with Jesus. That fundamental thing doesn't change, and it seems to me this is such a powerful witness. Not in contrast, I guess, to all the fancy stuff that we have now, but it that fancy stuff is not enough. We've got to have the whole picture, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and we have to have a multi-prong attack. I mean, yeah. What you all do, I'm not a computer guy. I'm not a technology guy. I don't even have Facebook. My church has Facebook. I don't even look at it. And maybe I should, but I generally don't. But there's some people who are not just cut out for that. I mean there's got to be a place for hands-on, getting your hands dirty, hitting the road ministry. And if God has called you to that, we have to do it. And I don't know, everybody who, this is very scary, this kind of ministry. It goes against, yeah, it just goes against, I guess, how we're wired. It's not safe. But I think that's the evil one, and it works against fear. What's the opposite of love? It's not hate, it's fear. And the things we fear the most, maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. And when we overcome those fears, like I told you, the first day I did this, that was probably my best day as a priest. I remember walking home going, this has been I feel fantastic. I'm on cloud nine. Where at that 2.5 hours earlier than that, I was scared to death.
Wow.
And I was this close to not doing it.
Uh-huh.
I was this close going, because I had a miscommunication with my other people, and it was just me. And it was cold, and it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And but I think it's, am I going to let fear keep, this is what I'm a priest. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And am I going to be able to look at these people and say I didn't do it because I was scared?
Well, let me ask you about bad experiences. Do you have times when people are mean to you or chase you away or that kind
of
thing?
You know, people, if they don't want you there, they might come to look out the window of the door and just kind of shake their head. We've had that. Maybe one time I remember a man just down the street from here, I said, are you Catholic? He goes, I ain't Catholic. Are you Catholic? And never been. I said, okay, you have a nice day. We've had two people I can think of where they just came to the door and said, this is not a good time.
Uh-huh.
This is not a good time.
That doesn't sound like...
but that's just,
that sounds pretty mild given you've been to 1,000 homes.
Yeah, it's real mild. We had one time, it was kind of funny. Well, a couple times we've had people scream. Well, one time somebody screamed through the door, nobody's home. One time we went to a door, and the door opened up, and a young man came, and all this smoke came out. And he was like, dude, I'm spiritual, not religious. And we're like, hey, have a nice day, sir. We've had those, but has anybody been outright rude, get out of here, I don't want no part of you? Not really. Not really. The people who we've had a house where someone was just angry at the church. I don't want to talk to you guys. And they ended up talking to them for like 15 or 20 minutes. We had to walk away because he just wanted to just tear into us. But even that, you know, we gave him a chance to get it out. So I can't even really think of, you know, any time that someone has been outright rude or even we felt for our safety. Every once in a while there's a dog or something. Sometimes we catch people as they're driving in their driveway and we walk up to their window. Some of those have been really neat experiences. One time we went to a house and it was like it was in the summertime and it was noon here in Texas and it was hot. And I've told this story to my congregation. I was with another fella. It was just me and him in like that first year. We walked up to a house and it said oxygen, no cigarettes or something like that. And I knocked on the door and we could tell it was an elderly lady. She was like, I'm coming. I said, we shouldn't have come here. She's, come on. And an elderly in a terrible house, an elderly lady came to the door, an African-American lady. And I said, hi, I'm Father John. I'm just down the street. On Sundays, we have our masses, one mass a day we have on TV. And so that's something we do on Sundays. But anyway, this lady came to the door, and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry to bother you. You know, she had the little tubes in her nose and her little oxygen tank. And I said, ma'am, we're Catholic. Are you? She goes, no, I'm not Catholic. I've never been Catholic. I'm Baptist. And I said, I'm sorry to bother you. Have a nice day. And we walked away, and she walked up to the screen and said, you know, I watch you on TV. And I turned around and said, you watch me? She goes, yeah, I watch you. And we had a nice little conversation. And she was this very elderly Baptist black lady. And I said, would you please pray for me? She, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. God bless. Thank you for coming by. And even that is just worth, you know,
right,
the whole day. It's worth the weight in gold to say, is there something we can do for you? Yeah, you can pray for me. I will. And just to be able to make that connection was such a blessing.
Is there something in your formation, Father, in the way you became a priest or suggested that this to you? I mean, it's an uncommon thing to do. And I gather that your parish is slightly uncommon in that maybe it changed and there was a growing Hispanic population that needed to be served by the parish that hadn't been there before. So you added the Spanish Mass and all that. But what in your story brought you to this point?
Well, I guess, you know, I went in seminary. I did like to go on mission down to South America and Mexico. I kind of enjoyed that. And several times we would just go walk up and down the streets, and we would have a soccer ball, and the kids would come out. And many of those Catholics that are traditionally, those countries that are traditionally Catholic countries, a lot of our ministry just took place in the street. And it was so neat to be able to do that and have them come out and we'll talk, oh, hi, Padre, ¿cómo está? How are you? So I just kind of enjoyed that anyway. You know, I grew up, my former life, I was a teacher and a coach. So I kind of have a big mouth anyway. And I'm kind of an extrovert. But I guess it was just seeing all of my neighborhood, who's technically my parish, you know, in my parish boundaries, just every Saturday, these other people, I felt like as a father, I at least have to go defend them, at least have to go to their house too. And that's why when I see them on the sidewalks, I think of them, now you're in my parish. These are my people. I want to go confront them. And to be at least, not just to minister to them, but to show the people in the neighborhood that their pastor is out there. And so I guess it was just, for me, I just felt compelled to do it, even though I was scared to death to do it. Sitting in my office, looking out the window on Saturday morning, watching these Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses going out, and, you know, it's humbling and it's shaming. We invented this. We invented evangelization. Why aren't we out there? And then to know that a lot of these churches, especially Jehovah's Witness and Pentecostals, they're all ex-Catholics. They're all ex-Catholics. And it doesn't speak well of us. And maybe we're not going to win them all back. Maybe we're not going to win many of them back. But to be able to, at the end of the day, say that we tried. We went to them. We went out to their home. And that was kind of my, like I said at the beginning, that's kind of my first motivation. But now I do it because it helps us. It helps me. And if I can get whole teams out in the neighborhood, and we have lots of houses still to hit, they would come back inspired about their own faith and to recognize that they're actually in their baptism and confirmation. They're made for this. We just have to tease it out.
Yep.
It's there. You can do this. It's fear that keeps you from doing it. It's fear. And you're going to let the fear win. You're going to make all kinds of excuses. Why not?
Well, what would you say then, Father, to say someone's listening in at their parish, whether they are the pastor or in the parish administration or they're a parishioner in a parish? What would you say to them if they said, I think this is something we could do at our parish? What would you give them as advice for the steps they should take?
I would say tell them to just start. Don't think about it. Just start. Have, you know, a bulletin. Have maybe one of your little pamphlets. But even just start. And start close to you, the low-hanging fruit, the house right next to the church. They will say, you know, we're from this parish who's right next to you. And you don't even have to convince. You don't have to start off with talking about Jesus or the church or the sacraments. Just say, are you Catholic? And you know, I think that's what the Pope said, what the new evangelization is. It's really re-evangelization. We have to re-evangelize, you know, the world. People, countries that have already been evangelized, but now they've kind of become non-practicing. So my advice to them is just start. Don't have too many meetings, even if it just starts with one person. Because that person will have an awesome experience, and the next thing you know, you'll have a little team. Once they come back and start telling them stories about what happened, like we have another young man here who started the St. Paul's Outreach. He went out once, you know, and now he's got himself a couple of guys that help him, and they come back with stories, and they come back how on fire they became about their faith. We're meant to be missionaries. We're confirmed and baptized to be missionaries. It's in there. And don't let fear stop you. That's what I would say.
Father John Guzaldo is a priest of the Diocese of Austin. His parish is St. Louis Parish in Waco, Texas. And you can find his parish on Facebook, but you'll know more about his Facebook page than he does if you go there.
So we have a website, too.
Oh, you do? Okay.
St. Louis, yeah, stlouiswaco.com.
Okay, stlouiswaco.com. Father Grisaldo, thank you so much for doing this interview with us and sharing with us about this ministry in your parish.
Thank you so much for having me, Si.
God bless you, Father, and thank you to everybody who has listened again to Catholic Answers Focus. We're so happy when you join us, and we'll do this again next week, so please join us again on Catholic Answers Focus.